This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the Eagles conversation, the Phillies are obviously just to, praise me with that beat the hammer performance. I mean, that was something.
Oh, yeah. Look at the call lines are flooding.
You got to admit, for those that root for the hammer, I mean, hammer came through. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Will in Jenkintown. Will, hammer's epic. Hello.
What are you doing? Hammer's epic.
I was just going to let
absolutely
that one go.
Hey, Will.
Hammer's epic.
And Will wasn't ready to talk, and his phone was all weird, so we're moving on. Will, we'll get back to John in Allentown. Yo, John.
What's up, Hammer?
That's how I did.
You smoked him, man.
I did.
You guys really need to raise the level of that prize, because somebody beats Joe, it's like epic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That hat. But then they got to get tore up like today and face humiliation all over a hat. I don't even think – I got 4 out of 5 today, but I don't even think I would get on that contest line and be like,
That's an Eagles hat, though. Eh? You know, that's not sneeze at that. That's not any regular hat now. I ain't a Tom Landry
hat. It's a Super Bowl.
That's an Eagles hat.
I'll buy that myself. I'm all right.
All right, what do you got for us on one of our squads here, John?
All right, so – by the way, I totally agree with what John just said about the Eagles, but that's not why I called. The Phillies. I'm sick of hearing people go, they can do it. They can do it. Because they haven't done it. Like, in theory, they should be able to do it. So until I see them do it in the playoffs and finish it, they can't do it.
Well, is not the right word. That's ridiculous. That's like saying Mike Schmidt and Dr. J can't win because they didn't win, you know, in the 5 or 6 times they had a crack before they did win.
We've seen them do it just at the wrong time.
But Mike Schmidt, when it was time, he put the numbers up, baby.
Well, like, one year.
That was the way he had to get there. He had to get there. These guys are getting there. They're getting their chance, but they're not putting the numbers up where they should be. They're not the offense supposed.
Well, some are and some aren't, John. I mean, to be fair, Wheeler has pitched as well as you can pitch. I mean, Bryce has been a spectacular postseason player. I mean, we can't act like
a lot of Wheeler's games last year.
I know. Me, listen, it's a shame that Wheeler did all that he did, and they haven't won it with both of those two. I mean, really, Bryce Harper and Zach Wheeler are two of the great postseason players I've ever seen, and so it stinks that they haven't. As a team won, and they've kind of wasted some of those performances. That is true.
And we have a huge, huge glaring weakness on that team.
Which is what?
The whole outfield.
Yeah, it is bad.
I mean, you're not going to choose that outfield over too many outfields.
No.
No, you're not. You're right. It's a bad outfield.
Yeah. And listen, for my character introduction, like the absolute introduction of Superman – was epic.
Remind me, Superman 1. What is it?
Which Superman are we talking about here?
Well, I better be talking about
Reeves. The original Superman with Chris Reeves when they hey, this is what's happening. We're putting him in the capsule. He will be this, you know.
Oh, in the capsule.
It's awesome, man. Like,
yeah.
He's going to come to Earth, and he's going to be a god.
The only problem is he's not Superman then. He's just a baby.
He's baby wrapped in shiny sheets.
He's Kal-El. Wasn't he Kal-El? Is that the name?
They knew he was Kal-El. Superman when he got to
Kal-El.
Earth.
Kal-El.
So. Yeah, I don't know, John. I'm a big fan, but I don't know. I mean, it is a great scene, but he's not Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, even when he's the kid lifting up the car, he's not Superman. So.
Dum, 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 dum.
Oh, so good.
Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah.
And even more nostalgic now that Gene, we've lost Gene.
I agree, Rube. All right, Rube, let me ask you about Zach Wheeler from this standpoint. Is he getting, I mean, he's getting closer, but is he getting close to the Hall of Fame, or does he still have a long way to go based on his 20s really being a lot of injury and not that effective?
If he puts together two of three of these next years that are similar to where he was over the last couple of years, then I think he's got a pretty good shot at it, just because the criteria has changed pretty dramatically. It's not about, you know, 200 or 300 wins anymore.
Right,
it's about,
it can't,
because
really,
that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, that's not happening.
It's about a level of dominance during the course of your era.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to put together two really, really strong
years. He could really use a Cy Young Award, too. Like a Cy Young Award on that resume would really help.
Yeah, he needs a Cy. And he got screwed on one in 2021.
Corbin Burns here, he got screwed.
Absolutely screwed.
Screwed.
And then, you know, last year, Sale just happened to have a little bit better year. Just a little bit better, but it was arguably.
He's been knocking on the door. He has.
It's been fantastic.
Look, 215-592-9494. Devin, you brought up the point earlier about having been down at spring training last week that you sense the players are struggling to answer questions about just sort of coming out of last year. Frame that for the audience, what you were basically saying.
So I don't know if struggling is the word I would use. I think it's more so that they're keeping their motivations and in-season goals kind of closer to the chest than they have in previous seasons. Like, Joe, you mentioned last year, even from John Middleton down, the messaging was, you know, World Series or bust. We're pissed about the way it all ended. The previous postseason against the Diamondbacks, you know, we're in it to win it all this year. And I didn't hear anyone utter the words World Series while I was down there. Definitely wouldn't describe it as a loose locker room. It was pretty quiet. They just seemed really focused. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. They just seemed very focused. Like they have a mission and they know the goal, but they're not necessarily talking about that with media, at least. But Rob Thompson kind of reiterated, Rube, what you've been saying throughout the show, and that's, you know, we know that we have the pieces. We have one of the best starting rotations in baseball. We have the lineup. We have a good bullpen. We know that we can compete. We just need to put it all together. And for me, that's what I'm still a little bit like. I don't think that they're going to come out and lay out the game plan for how to get the bats going in the postseason at the right time. But I've yet to hear, you know, what's changed, what's different this year that is going to make fans and media and other teams and the team itself believe that the bats can come alive and that the team can play their best baseball when it most matters.
Well, look, you can react. I mean, it's pretty fascinating because we spent so much time on the Eagles for all the obvious reasons. But this Phillies thing, it is weird in that it feels like there's not a centrally themed message or mindset or like, James, I view you as a poster child for what I'll call the turn in the fan base. Like, you were as all in as could be. And I remember when they lost last year, you were basically, and I thought you went too far, and I said it in the moment, but you were basically like, this team, as constituted, can't win a World Series.
No, I think you miss. Like, of course they can win a World Series. I just went from expecting them to win a World Series to not expecting them to win a World Series. You know what I mean? Like, of course they can win a World Series. They just have to get hot at the right time.
Four games changes your thought that dramatically?
It's the back-to-back postseasons. I think they have a fatal fall in the playoffs. Like, they could get hot. Like, in 2022, when the bats were hot, they just didn't stay hot enough for two more games. Like, of course, the bats could get hot at the right time, but I don't think this team, as constructed offensively, is a team that is built for the playoffs. Like, I think they have a fatal flaw in the playoffs where they could get hot and the ball looks like a beach ball and they get enough hits and their pitching's great where they could win, but I'm saying I went from last year expecting this group to win a World Series over the next couple of years to not expecting it. That's the difference.
All right, well, look, we'll see where people stand. 215-592-9494. Up ahead, Mel Kiper's first mock draft. We have it. who he has the Eagles picking, and this is a sweet sounding phrase here, at pick 32. Yeah, pick 32. I think the last time they won it, didn't they have pick 31? Because is that the year the Patriots got zapped to pick?
Yes, yes. That's a good call,
so
Joe.
So this would be their first pick 32 ever, I think.
It's a great call.
Thank you, sir. They actually traded the last one, too.
They did, to Baltimore.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
Eagles got Goddard in the second rounder, and the Ravens got Lamar. All right, also, something Jordan Mulata said yesterday about Jalen Hurts. It's really, really good audio. All right, as we make the turn tonight at midnight to the month of March, which represents a lot of good. March Madness, obviously. The beginning of the Philly season and the lead up to it. And obviously, NFL free agency.
Does it still feel weird to you that it's not April, that the Phillies start? Because
yes.
It'll always feel weird to me that it's not April.
It does feel weird. It does. I'll tell you what we're growing accustomed to, which is the Flyers missing the playoffs. But they have a shot this year. They took what I'd call a step backwards last night, getting a point, because they really needed two. And they got one, even though they had a 3-0 lead and blew that
lead.
And
a 4-2 lead.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's nice to get a point, better than zero, and get an overtime loss, but... two would have been better than one, to say the least. Look, Sixers obviously are playing out the string, and, it's just a fiasco. 215-592-9494. We'll talk to Sheil Kapadia coming up in about 5 minutes. Let's play some audio right now of Jordan Mulata. This may have been, and probably, look, I don't hear all 24 hours of the radio station. Obviously can't. But I would imagine this is probably the best audio that happened yesterday on WIP. So Mulata was in studio with Spike, Ike, and Jack, and he talked about Jalen Hurts. And I just loved every aspect of this answer. Let's listen to Jordan Mulata yesterday talking about Hurts.
I would imagine as a teammate and someone who protects him, you have to feel good for him as well.
Oh, man. Dude, do I feel good? I feel great. I feel great about the way he played and the way he kind of just kept to his own the whole year. And I went up to him and even I went up to him at the Super Bowl. I think it was a great. I can't swear that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't swear.
You can say the first letter of the word.
So I go up to him after we do the media round, get back in the locker room. It's going crazy, like a little party in there. And I find Jay. I go up to Jay. And I'm just looking at him, like shaking my head. I was like, what? And I go, man, how do you do it, man? The bigger the moment, the greater your performance. And he looked back at me. He has a cigar in his mouth. He took a breath in, blew out the smoke, and said, "That's what the F I do," and walked off.
There you go.
Oh my God! Hey man, we're in the locker room, man. Come on, you don't have to do me like that, man. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, he did you like he did does us. Like that, yeah, right. Like, yeah, yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh man, this guy
he stays
cool.
Locked in.
This guy is just locked in 24/7. But I was just so proud of the way he played. Yeah. Just the way he just commanded.
Yeah,
and it's just we always say he stays, here.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the definition of just saying, being
even
a kill. Cool cucumber.
Yeah,
even kill.
They can't see you on the radio.
Yeah, that's what
exactly. He's yeah, yeah, yeah. I was trying to figure out the word. Yeah. So I appreciate that. Even kill, cool cucumber. At all times.
It's good stuff, man. It really is. It was very cool. It's a great interview. And by the way, midweek next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday, we will have a Jalen Hurts day here on our show.
Yes, we will.
And the Hammer will probably take a beating, and I welcome
that. No probably about it.
Well, we'll see if the callers bring it, Maybe they won't. You never know, James.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Not concerned about that.
Sometimes you do know, Joe.
Sometimes you do know. That'll be Tuesday or Wednesday next week. We'll figure that out as we get closer. Obviously want to get a landscape of the week as it plays out. But we'll either Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday and Friday of next week, we're down in Clearwater for spring training. Looking forward to that. Now, obviously, free agency is right thereafter because then it's the following Monday. So we got all this stuff up ahead. Then the draft in April. Let me tell you because I had Mel Kiper's first mock draft. I mean, John, this is always a big deal. Who does Mel have the Eagles taking? Now, let's start with this fact. Mock drafts mean more after free agency. Not only have teams had more time to evaluate the players, and guys like Mel Kiper have had more time to hear what they're sensing and talk and disseminate it to the listeners and people, but what positions teams need more after free agency than before free agency. With that said, let me tell you the player that Mel Kiper, as of right now, has the Eagles taking, and from a position standpoint, it makes a lot of sense if they lose Milton Williams And it is with the 32nd pick. Mel has them taking a player named Walter Nolan.
Yes, that's who I wanted.
A defensive tackle from Ole Miss. Look at you excited, James.
I'm okay. Just kidding. I've never heard of him before.
Okay. Boy, you really convinced me. I mean it. All right, so here's the write-up that Mel says about this Walter Nolan D-tackle Ole Miss. He says, I went through quite a few names here at the end of round one for the Super Bowl champions. I thought about Darius Alexander, who has the quickness and size to play anywhere on the D-line. Plus, I imagine the Eagle Scouts got a good look at him last year when they were watching Toledo teammate Quentin Mitchell, who became Philly's first-round pick. Then I considered Michigan's Kenneth Grant, who was instinctive and explosive up the middle. But I settle on Nolan, who is the definition of disruptive and can get to the quarterback from inside. He had 6.5 sacks this past season and transferring from Texas A&M. Nolan would be a good replacement for free agent Milton Williams, joining Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis to form a solid defensive tackle group. And this would be in line with what GM Howie Roseman likes to do early in the draft, building in the trenches. So that's the early look ahead for Mel Kiper. Obviously, things can and will change as time moves on, particularly after we know who's back and who's not back with the Eagles. Let's put it this way. If you re-sign Milton Williams, you're probably less inclined to get that guy. So, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Lane Johnson's replacement.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I could see them going on.
You're not kidding, Rhea. We haven't talked much about that.
34, 35?
Look, I wouldn't want it if Howie knows Lane wants to play another 2, 3, 4 years. But if it's like one more year,
yeah,
different deal. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Wade right now. Sheil Kapadia shortly. Good morning, Wade.
What up, man? This I guess this is pregame. You used to this. I know Amy know all about this. You little pre, you know what I'm saying?
Settle down.
Why does Amy know about that?
Settle down.
Because that's the Muppet. You know how he is. It's pre. You know what I'm saying? But listen.
You got a good memory. Amy,
yeah.
That wasn't the heart of the Muppet, but okay, I get the
whatever, point. You're a character, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? You got to give a shout out to James, because if James not there, you can't be no hammer, because you suck. You don't do nothing unless
Does he have a hand up in that controls him?
Wait, am I the hammer or am I 2014 Ruben Amaro? Is the team crumbling around?
I'm trying to switch it up. It's on you.
Jeez. Whoa.
I get tossed in.
I'm just looking to deflect.
Deflecting.
Man, you lucky next week is Jalen Hurts, you know, so I'm going to chill. I'm going to leave you alone. But listen, from what I heard, I thought we were going to get two of them, the lineman and the linebacker. I don't think we're going to get nobody, because we might get priced out. We got to get it through the draft.
No, you think we get none of our free agents coming back?
I thought we were going to get the lineman and back. The lineman, but he's going to get replaced with Taylor Sheen, because our draft pick, our third round draft pick. We're going to get another. Well, hopefully we can keep the linebacker, but if we don't get him, then we're going to have to fill in with that. And then we got to set up. You feel me? We're not going to have no money. And then next year, Jalen got approved a contract. Like this year, like even though Hammer was talking trash on Hurts. This was a coastal year for Hurts. You feel me? Like, we got put in position. We got the best running back, top 3 receiver, top 10 other receiver. We got the top 5 lineman with Melody. He number 3, and we still got Lane that's top 10. Jalen Hurts, we can't do nothing on the defense. We got to keep our money ready to pay the people on offense, so we can stay ambition to win. So now they're gonna try to beat us for stopping the run, but Jalen got to. This got to be a big difference, Jalen. He's as comfortable as he ever been. He's coming off of MVP, so he should be comfortable. Even though we got a new offensive coordinator, we won a Super Bowl with a new one. But he was more veteran than we know how he did being with Dallas. But Jalen got to be the second best quarterback in the league for us to keep playing. Now, he used to be like, "How about that?"
Well, I don't think that's accurate. It'd be great.
He's
top 5. He's closer than he had been.
How this year he kept saying, "How about that defense? He's not gonna have that look."
Well, yeah, the defense will probably take a step back. That's true. Wade, give me an answer. A character is introduced. What do you got?
Man, I told you to hammer that. Introduce you to the morning. Everybody know you're a clown, boy. That's what it is.
So that was kind of rude, right? What am I? Ruben, how did you handle the 2014, 2015? Like, and obviously I was joking.
Apparently not well.
No, I mean the criticism. Like, Ruben, people would call you. Your name is Ruben Amaro. People would call you Ruin Tomorrow.
Which, by the way, might have been the greatest nickname of all time.
That is very clever.
That is spectacularly good. Ruin Tomorrow Junior.
Yeah, people are clever.
Had you heard that?
There's still a Twitter account. It's still out there.
Hold on. When you were growing up, did you hear that?
Never heard that one, and because I never ruined anything until 2013 and 14.
Wow.
But
did it hurt, Ruben?
Yeah. How personally? Yeah, a little bit. But you know, listen, I told my kids, and I've said this many times, when I took that job, I knew you were starting at the top. There's nowhere to go but down. When you start with a World Series winning team in 2008, right afterwards, where do you go?
It's a tough bar to live up to. I mean,
you typically take over a team that's kind of crappy.
But isn't it easy to forget that? Isn't it easy to forget the truth of that situation and lose track? Like, I think I personally, with a lot of people, you know, saying ruin tomorrow and pointing at me, I think eventually that would sort of crumble me. Even though I knew it wasn't meant to be as hurtful as it made me feel, I think it would eventually really
crush me. It was hurtful for a while, but it's funny. I mean, I fully expected everything that sort of happened, except not being able to have the opportunity to turn it around.
Yeah, wow.
Because that was my only regret. I would love to have had the opportunity to actually turn the organization back around.
After the Matt Klintak era, you're not the only one around here that wishes you had that opportunity.
I will say, Rube used to make fun of, you know, because when we were doing the show, we know it. He would crush him, and he would call up and go, hey, did I get Weasel of the Week? He would be disappointed if he didn't.
Yeah.
So he kind of handled it in a funny manner.
No, that's good. All right, let's talk to Shiel Kapati. He does a spectacular job covering the NFL, covering the Eagles for, of course, The Ringer. You can follow his work at Shiel Kapati. And he joins us right now. Good morning, Shiel.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Shiel, don't tell me you were one of those people critical of Ruben.
No, of course. I've never said a bad thing about anyone in this city in my career.
I will tell you, real quick, Ruben, you may remember this. And then, Shiel, we'll talk football in a second. You got inducted, Ruben, and I was the MC, into the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. And it was shortly before you were let go. And it was the first time I met you. And I just remember being on that stage thinking, oh, this is just... It just felt, I felt bad that, you know, you were going through it, but here you are getting propped up in a Hall of Fame. It was just an odd confluence of, you know.
Well, I've been fortunate to be part of, you know, some really winning teams. I feel very, very proud of that.
Yeah, you should.
An era that I believe is still the best era in Phillies baseball.
It is.
Happy to have been part of that.
All right, Shiel, let's talk some football, man. A lot of ways to go. Let me start with this question to you. Why do you think everyone around here, perhaps other than me, is completely convinced Zach Bond will be back, even though we have no idea how much money, how he's willing to offer, and how much money Zach Bond and his agent wants? Everyone just assumes he'll be back. Why does everybody assume it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm completely convinced, but I think it's, you have to look at the two sides here, and one side is the Eagles, and I don't think they're going to be a very active team in free agency this offseason, given their salary cap situation and the state of their roster. So they've got to make priorities. And when I look at their potential moves here in free agency, I personally feel like Zach Bond has to be the priority and will be the priority, just thinking about what they have behind him, how valuable he was, those things. And then I look at it from Zach Bond's perspective, and he's entering his age 29 season. He only started 14 games in the NFL before last year. So I'm looking at it from a league-wide perspective, saying, hey, if I'm another team, am I going to be confident going above and beyond for a player like that who is great in Vic Fangio's scheme, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, but doesn't necessarily have a long track record and isn't like he's 25 or 26 years old? So I think when you look at both sides, this could just be a situation where it makes sense for the Eagles to make Zach Bond their priority. And when Zach Bond looks around, he might say, okay, the Eagles are making a competitive offer, and I'm going to come back and play on this football team.
And then how about the other guys, the other big-name guys? Mekhi Becton, it feels like he is another one that we have a chance to retain, and I don't know if that's just because I feel like guard is less expensive, even though it's not always less expensive anymore. Those guys are getting a hefty sum in some cases. It feels like he and Zach Bond are both in positions that are not the priority spots, so they are a little bit less weighty, a little less hefty, like we could retain both of them.
Yeah, he's a tricky one too, John, for the same reason, because last year nobody wanted Mekhi Becton in free agency. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a guy to not sign until after the draft, that's very, very rare. And so the Eagles sign him on a low-cost deal after the draft. He plays really well for Jeff Stoutland. But again, it's the same thing. If you're another team, so you look at that and say, well, yeah, he played with Jeff Stoutland and he played on a stacked offense. Of course he's going to look good, but are we going to pay him big money to come to our team and expect the same results there? So he's a tricky one. You know, I have him at around $9 million per season. Now, there's a chance he gets a lot more than that. There were guards last offseason who were kind of at his level that made around $13 million per season. And then you just see the guard market. There are guys now making over $20 million per year playing guard, where that was not the case just a couple of years ago. So it all comes down to, is there one team? All it takes is one team that says, no, we want this guy. He's our priority. And I think ultimately he's a guy who I would expect to not be with the Eagles next season, just because I feel like there are going to be other needs from other teams where they're going to pay him more. And the Eagles might look at it and say, hey, we've got Tyler Steen. We've got the draft. We can sign another free agent at a lower cost at some point this offseason. So I wouldn't expect it, but I'm with you. There's a chance his number comes down to at a certain level where they say, hey, let's just go ahead and bring him back. He played well for us last year.
How realistic is the Myles Garrett possibility?
Yeah, I've been trying to weigh that one. So he seems pretty dug in, you know, that he does not want to play for the Cleveland Browns and that he wants to go to a winner. Now, if I'm the Browns management, Andrew Berry, I'm saying I don't really think this makes sense for us to move on from Myles Garrett. There are some financial implications there where their cap actually gets hit if they trade Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a move that's going to save them a lot of money or put them in great cap space. So they
doubles the cap. It's like $16 million if he stays, $34 million if they trade him, and that's on the Browns.
And that's on a team that has Deshaun Watson, albatross, the worst contract in NFL history on their book. So they've got to decide what they want to do. So the situation, I think, where Myles Garrett ends up getting traded is one where they are just convinced, hey, we've exhausted every avenue to try to convince this guy that we want him here and he's going to stay, and he's dug in, and now we have to go and we have to get a godfather offer for Myles Garrett. I'm talking about something that maybe includes two first-round picks. Now, maybe it comes down to a first-round pick and a second that turns into a first, something like that. I'm not even answering the phone if I'm the Browns, if I don't get an offer at that level. So if you ask me right now, what do I think is going to happen? I think ultimately they're going to give him a little extra money, and that solves a lot of things in the NFL, and he's going to remain with the Cleveland Browns. But I don't feel that confident about it with the way you hear Myles Garrett, the way he's approached this offseason.
How much does it help, if at all, that Andrew Berry is a former Eagles front office member?
Yeah, I would think if any team has a good read on whether he's actually available, it would be the Eagles. I mean, Andrew Berry has called Howie Roseman the best GM in sports in the past. Those guys have a good relationship. So I'm sure it's something where, you know, they've talked, whether formally or informally, to kind of get a gauge about it. I think that would work in the Eagles' favor. I think just the team would work in the Eagles' favor. Myles Garrett wants to go to a winner. You know, I think a lot of these great players in the NFL watched what happened with Saquon.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Barkley last year, where they said he was stuck on a bad team, he had greatness within him, and he couldn't show it until he went to a team that was able to uncover it. And if you're a guy like Myles Garrett, it's so easy to put yourself in Saquon's shoes and say, I am one of the best defensive players in football, and I don't get to play in the divisional round. I don't get to play in the championship round because my team has stunk around me. I want to go somewhere where I can showcase my talents and really show this greatness like Saquon did.
It's such a huge difference. Just hearing Travis Kelce talk about how his career has been so different than other tight ends simply because he's played, I don't know, a third as much football as everyone else, because the postseason, when you go deep every single year.
Yeah, more football, you mean?
More football. Yeah, more football. Yeah. It counts. Like, those games, they add up. Those snaps, they add up. Myles Garrett has never, ever had postseason snaps. Like, that's all this guy wants. He's the best defensive player in the NFL. He just wants postseason snaps. We're friends with their GM. Yeah. It does seem like if it's going to happen,
Well, and also, Ruben, that's part of how you get, that's part of how you got Roy Halladay. You had a great team. And Roy Halladay wanted to go be on a great team.
Are there other players could sort of lasso in here simply because we are that great and we provide that destination?
It's not just about, to me, it's not just about the team. It's about the culture that's being set. And it's clear that the culture that they're setting, whether it's Howie, whether it's Lurie and all of the above, and Sirianni, they're creating a culture that is really special. People want to come be here.
Yeah. But I will say this, Shield. I think there's limited exceptions where you get a player cheaper, typically near the end of his career, because he wants to win in football. I mean, wouldn't you say, Shield, football players are wired generally to take, and John, you're an example of someone that took slightly less.
I don't know.
Slightly less.
Yeah. And
but, I mean, chill, don't people want to get
Saquon
paid?
Saquon came home. Saquon came home and had as much success as anyone can have coming home. He is the poster boy for other guys like him who have all that talent, like Myles Garrett, who's just never had the opportunity to play the extra season.
Yeah, but Saquon also got the offensive line. And he got the chance to stick it to the Giants, which I would bet you was sure. part of the motivation.
Sure.
Anyway, Shield, maybe I'm cynical on this one. I just tend to think players typically just want to get paid as much as they can.
Yeah, I mean, that's not just players. That's human nature. I think everybody, you know, yeah, everybody wants to get paid as much as they can. So, yes, that's obviously going to be the monster factor. Now, NFL contracts are a little complicated where it's, hey, this is your salary. These are your guarantees. This is how much you're getting up front. So there are different ways you can kind of frame that where, you know, when these guys, everybody will sign their new contracts next in a couple weeks here, and every guy will say, well, I left more money on the table at another place. And, well, did you really, you know, based on how this was? So, yes, money is a big factor. And for the Eagles, that is a factor for them, too, not because they're not willing to pay. Jeffrey Lurie is willing to pay whatever it takes to get these players, but with the salary cap, with the players they have, to make that monster move. You know, I read the quotes from Howie Roseman this week at the Combine, and to me, I thought, all right, is he saying in another year, we would love to take a swing on Myles Garrett, but this might not be the year where we're going to be able to do that? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into
it. Possible.
I know he had some of those comments.
So, Shield, a quote, and Shield Kapadia with us right now, free agency in 10 days. Shield, a quote that I really found fascinating from Howie this week, and it kind of flew a little under the radar. Zach Berman had a tweet out of Howie saying the following. Talking about free agents that were coming up and their chance to negotiate with them back in the season. He said, quote, we didn't do any deals during the season, which probably could have prevented some of these problems, but we just didn't feel like the timing was right. And, you know, Shea, when I heard that, I thought, well, in 2022, same thing. They had a great team and they didn't have any contracts in season. Last year, I don't remember them doing any. And it makes me wonder whether this is a new strategy for the Eagles, particularly if they're having a great season, which they have had 3 years in a row up until the point when, of course, you can sign your own guys during the season. I just wonder, Shield, if Sirianni got to Howie and said, Nick, in all due respect, it's going to disrupt my team's chemistry if I got seven different guys negotiating with you and two get a contract and five don't. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm with you. Now, I don't know that it was Nick. I think it might have been an organizational thing that, you know, with Nick involved where they looked at it. Maybe there was a situation in the past because you're right. This is something they used to do all the time.
And, Shield, the reason I say Nick is because this is a relatively new.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? And Nick is all about handle the business that is right in front of you to prepare for Sunday's game.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. It could be. I mean, because organizationally, going back to Joe Banner and Andrew, I mean, they did this every year where they said, hey, we have an ascending player. He's having a good season. Let's not wait till after the year. Let's dangle this carrot in front of them and say, hey, we're going to pay you right now. They're more likely to take it when they're that far away from free agency. You know, now it's tough where you really got to blow a guy away with an offer because they're 10 days away from being able to test the open market. So I think they were aware of that. And they said, hey, if we give Milton Williams a big deal right now, what's Josh Sweat going to think? What's Zach Bond going to think? And you're right, this goes back a few years now, and this is a very different way that they've approached it.
Yeah, I think so for sure. All right, Shield, let's go ahead, John.
How much is Nick Sirianni going to fetch this offseason?
How much is it, you mean in terms of personnel decisions? And
No. In terms of
the new contract.
His new contract.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
What is he going to be owed
four years,
Super Bowl winning head coach?
4 years, $50 million,
Shiel. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. These coaches, the coaching contracts are going up, and if you look, you go to Nick Sirianni's Pro Football Reference page, and you almost can't believe it. You know, it's like he has the fifth highest, I think, winning percentage in NFL history. In the regular season, he's been to two Super Bowls in his first four seasons. He's won a Super Bowl, so I would imagine, and I don't know what the number is, but if I were representing him, I'm saying we're getting paid like a top five head coach in the NFL. You know, we just won you a Super Bowl. What more do you want to see? And, you know, I think Jeffrey Lurie, given that they've just won a Super Bowl with the guy, you know, and so much has changed over the course of the last year, I would think this wouldn't be too contentious of a contract. There's no salary cap on.
So
on
what does it look like? How much are we talking?
I honestly don't know. Coaching salaries are not made public, which I believe they should be. All player salaries, you can see right away what they're making. So I don't even know what Ben Johnson got. I think he was the highest paid head coach. It's certainly in double digits. I can't remember if it was $13, $15, $20 million, something. Wow. In that range.
You're saying per year, right?
Per year, yeah. Wow. No, it was in the double digits. It was in the double digits for the top guys. And I believe that Adam Schefter had a report a few weeks ago that Nick Sirianni's previous contract was kind of nowhere near those numbers. So, yes, Nick is going to get a very good pay bump, I would think, this offseason.
Wild. Hey, Shield, a couple final things. One more on football, and then I want to get to a few baseball things with you. Jason Peters is retiring. Stoutland had a real nice tweet yesterday. Obviously coached him for a while. And Stoutland tweeted this about Jason Peters. He says, "Every once in a blue moon, a player like Jason Peters comes around. I'm blessed to have coached him. His combination of powerful run blocking and quickness in pass protection is unusual. Not only was he physically gifted, but his instincts were unmatched. Jason, thank you for everything. Congrats on a great career." It's a really nice tribute. You know, we stumbled a couple days ago, Sheil, into this question that I don't know what the answer is. Who was the best between Peters, Lane Johnson, and Jason Kelce?
Oh, my goodness. I honestly need time to think. Here's the difference with Jason Peters that I noticed when I covered the Eagles as a beat writer is that there are very few athletes when you're covering a professional sports team where the other athletes are in awe of what the one guy's doing. You know, these are the best of the best, the elite of the elite, yet every year, whether it was practice, games, whatever, watching film, there would be guys who would be like, I can't believe what I just saw Jason Peters do from an athleticism standpoint, from a power standpoint. So there's, you know, if you just ask me who's like A-plus game was the best, I think that answer would be Jason Peters, just being able
to do
the rare thing that nobody else could do. If you ask me the course of a career, now it gets a lot trickier with, I think all three of those guys are obviously Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, Shield, final things here. Let's go baseball real quick. Curious your answer to our Twitter poll questions of the day. We got both questions brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. All right, Sheil, of these four players, who do you have the most confidence in for this upcoming season? And then the same question is, who do you have the least confidence in? So same four players, most confidence, least confidence. Bohm, Castellanos, Stott, Trey. Bohm, Castellanos, Stott, Trey. Who do you have the most confidence in? Who do you have the least confidence in?
Oh, my gosh. Bohm, Castellanos, Stott, Trey. Okay, I'm going to maybe surprise, and I'm going to say Stott's going to have a nice bounce-back season. And I'm gonna
I agree.
Say, I can explain
I
it away with the injury.
Too.
I thought he was an ascending player. And so I will say I think Stott's going to bounce back healthy, and he's going to have a nice season. Least confidence. It's relative to my expectation, right? So Trey Turner, I need to see a little bit more from. I'm not saying if you're in a big spot, I want to, you know, Castellanos up instead of Trey Turner. I just need to see, all right, the hamstring injury affected you last year. The first year, you know, mentally, you were maybe not prepared for Philadelphia until August. Can I get a full from opening day to the end of the postseason and in those playoff games when he's up in a big spot? I want to feel good about what you're paying this guy and that he's going to come through for you. So, I might say Trey Turner's the guy I just need to see the most from relative to what my expectation has been for the play.
All right, my man. Sheil, good work, pal. Love talking to you. Love having you on the show. Thank you, Sheil.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks. Talk to you. Sheil Kapati. I got a couple complaints.
No?
I got to get to. Not quite yet, but soon. I got two complaints, and I'm going to think most people will agree with me. We'll find out on times yours if people agree or disagree.
Are they peeves or complaints?
They are...
There's a difference?
Yeah, there is a difference.
Oh.
I would, well, James, I haven't done a peeve in a while.
I know, that's why I asked.
Maybe 1-1. I'm not quite sure. I got to think about that. In the meantime, let's get to Andrew calling from Ambler. What's going on, Andrew?
Hi, good morning, everyone. How are you doing?
Doing great, Andrew.
Listen to this accent.
Man, classy Andrew.
I've called before, you know, originally from South Africa, so I think you might remember me. I wanted to challenge you on the hammer with my son. I think you remember that first conversation we had, but we nixed that idea pretty quick. Anyway.
Man. So are you actually classier than someone who talks like me, or do you just sound that way?
That's so true.
I'm not going to say that I'm classier than you. That's arrogant, and arrogant doesn't.
That sounds like a classy response.
He's already classier.
Yeah.
Jeez.
There you go. I digress.
Wow.
So anyway,
if
it's cool to talk about the Phillies here, I'm on the side of I'm worried, more worried, because it seems like it's that running it back situation. So from a fan standpoint, if you're bringing back the same personnel, what's going to change? How do you convince the fans that that's going to change? The one upgrade, obviously, is the starting pitching. I think Lazard is a really good move, just to solidify that. But then the only way you're going to change this is if you change the batting lineup. That's the way I look at it.
It's not what I'd call the only way. I mean, it's a way to try to spur change. I think the bigger way, frankly, far more important than who hits where, is that they hit better and that they have a better approach. I mean, I don't think, just as a for instance, Andrew, to me, Trey Turner hasn't let off, not because stylistically he doesn't fit a leadoff profile. It's because when they've given him a chance to lead off or bat elsewhere, he generally hasn't been good enough.
Right.
Because his approach has been garbage. So, you know, that's where I think this idea of like, okay, if he bats one instead of two, you get the best of Trey. I don't know that to be true. You get the best of Trey if his head is freaking locked on and he knows not to swing at nonsense.
So do you think him leading off will help him not swing at nonsense?
No, I don't. I don't.
He could be a good leadoff hitter for getting on base and finally using his speed. With this new rule, he should be stealing 40 bases a year easily, right?
So he should, but part of that, ironically, is you have to get on base a lot to steal bases a lot.
Very good, Joe.
Thank you.
I'll put that in the next update.
I hope that we're aggressive with the base stealing because it does change the whole dynamic of what I love when I love when other teams do it, but it does make us feel so different when other teams get on and they've got speed and there's danger
there. There's no doubt.
When Nimmo's on first base, I hate it. Why can't we make other teams feel that way?
Well, the Phillies do have a couple of them. We shouldn't act like they don't. I mean,
we
Stott,
do have
Trey,
them, but we don't steal with them enough.
Well, Stott
we
and Trey were in the
30s. Often the way, well,
I think Joe, I think you hit on something that's really important. It's really about the mindset and then being able to make adjustments and be able to pass the baton. If they feel like they can pass the baton, take a walk, and be able to get on base and just let things happen naturally, I think that mindset in and of itself will make this team a better team. They did not have that when they needed it the most. They were trying to do too much with each one of their bats rather than basically passing the baton,
right.
And if they can do that, you saw the adjustment that Kyle Schwarber made last year.
He was great.
He had a 50-point swing.
Massive.
50. Okay, let me just say this again. A 50-point swing in his batting average.
Up.
Now, because he decided that he wanted to be a more complete hitter. Now, if guys can do that and buy into that, and I think Kevin Long's going to be working hard to have those guys do that, then it's got a chance to be a very, very explosive offense.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. There are many who think that Kevin Long did a poor job last year. Ruben Amaro, was it more him, the messaging being faulty, or the players not applying the messaging properly?
Probably more B than it was A. I think Kevin Long has always had a lot of success with the hitters having high averages. With the Nationals, he had, you know, teams that weren't that great at high averages, and I think that's something he stresses. The play, he can't hit for them. He's got it. These guys have to apply it, and hopefully they can.
All right, James, answer your question. I guess I'm going to call one of these a peeve and one of these a complaint, but frankly, both might be complaints or both peeves. And I'm curious if people on the Times Yours line, and I'm going to give you the Times Yours number right now. You can Tell me if you agree or disagree. And Tom's yours is 215-238-4500. I think I speak for many people with these two issues. And again, Tom's yours, 215-238-4500. All right.
Let us be the judge of whether you speak for us.
I know the buildup here.
Here we go. John, James, Devin, Ruben, Rhea. For those of you that use Facebook, do you agree that there are way too many advertisements at this point, and you've got to move through like five things to get to one post from a friend?
I don't use Facebook.
Rhea and Ruben, you're out. John, do you use Facebook?
I don't either, so I'm out too.
So it's only Devin?
I don't use Facebook, really.
All five of you don't use
Facebook? I have it, but I check it maybe once a month.
I only use Facebook if I have to put out Ask Me Anything on the WIP one.
I present this to the audience, both for the regular phone lines, 215-592-9494.
I mean, I feel like Twitter is the same way, if that helps.
Yeah, but not as bad. 215-592-9494. I can't have five people that don't use Facebook commenting on this.
Why are you
using
it?
No one uses Facebook.
Well, the hammer does, and so do other humans. All right, time's yours line. 215-238-4500. Am I correct that back in the day it would be like nine regular posts and one ad, and now it's like four ads and one regular post, and it drives me freaking nuts.
And back in the day was when everybody used to use Facebook.
Correct.
Maybe you should stop using it like everyone else did.
Well, maybe I will, but I'm just telling you, it can be a nice way to see what's going on with friends, and it's really aggravating. All right, number two, totally different topic. Movies stink. Present-day movies. Here's my list for this decade. And I know COVID interrupted the movie scene for a stretch. I'm not saying it didn't. Here's what I've got in the last 5 years that have been of interest for me. Top Gun Maverick, Oppenheimer. I didn't care about the Barbie thing, but other people did.
Barbie was good.
No, people said
terrible.
That. Okay,
terrible.
Okay. I hated it, but a lot of people liked it.
Awful.
And I had one more movie, which was
Gladiator 2.
Gladiator 2.
Well, you're missing Dune.
And I know, and hold on real quick, and I know Seltzer's going to tell me about 77 artsy movies.
No, I'm not. I just said Dune and Dune 2, which were massive movies.
Does anybody understand anything about
that? That's all I said. I agree with you, Joe. I think the 2020s have been really, I think 2019 was a great movie year. If you go back to 2019, it was awesome. And I think it has been rough.
So do they all just make the
pick and choose and go find those movies?
James, do all the great directors now just make the Netflix shows?
Well, that's part of it. It's part of it. Is it some of the Netflix stuff? There's a bunch. It's that studios are putting all their money into these big tentpole movies, like at the cost of other stuff, like the Marvel.
Big what movies?
It's called tentpoles. It's like you've seen like Entourage and all that stuff.
A movie dork.
Everyone knows what a tentpole is.
Tentpole movies.
It's like a blockbuster.
It's what they call their blockbuster movies. Like we got a Marvel movie is a tentpole movie. It's just what it is.
Yeah, and I hate the Marvel. James and I have a movie for you that James and I both recently watched and we love.
Okay.
The Conclave.
Okay.
Just Conclave.
Conclave.
I'll write
it's
down.
Awesome.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Entertaining. It's nominated for Best Picture. The Oscars are on Sunday.
Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci. It is so good.
I'm a big Stanley Tucci fan.
The music score in it is excellent too.
And part of what hits me on this is, you know, with Hackman dying yesterday or 2 days ago or whatever day he actually died.
Ago.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking back to all his movies, and then the 90s, you had so many movies in the 80s.
Even the 2010s were better. Like,
this is a joke.
Didn't the writer's strike have something to do with this?
Yeah, but that's only a small portion.
Yeah, but it's like having a bad draft, man.
The pandemic set it off on a bad start. You know, that was a bad start. But I do think there are issues, and people don't go to the movie theaters the same way. So
that's absolutely true.
You know why?
But I'm okay.
So basically what I'm saying is they make like four $200 million movies instead of making like 10, 20,
and
or 30
like
million
this.
Dollar movies.
Like
those are the ones
down
we love.
At home with the family and watching just like, let's watch some TV that's not even that good.
No,
I'm just going to watch it because it's there. I think that's the phase I'm in.
Okay. Well, look, let's find out. You know, you can hit us up in about an hour or so, less than. We'll have Time's Yours. Am I right or wrong that movies nowadays stink? And Facebook ads have run amok and are borderline ruining Facebook.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.